Hello.
Hello. Hi. Can you
Oh, you sound great.
do I?
Didn't our Lord and Savior CJ said that us talking about technical difficulties is like the new do you need a lozenge of like this era of the podcast?
Because we're having to do it remotely, and it is not and it's just
And
it's
here's the thing. If it's not working, it's not like I'm like, let me hold on, let me dial in the gabapentins and I'm gonna loop the audio feedback. I'm just like, oh, it didn't work, try again. Oh, it didn't work, try again.
Try again.
And then we do that 15 times and then eventually it works.
No, literally. Let me count how many times. One, two, three, four, five, six times to get it.
I will
Could
say
you?
like the middle two or three of those, my phone did that thing that it often does where it tries to connect to my headphones that were in like a totally different part of my house. It's like, oh, you must
Oh.
be trying to use these headphones that are
And
100 feet from you and folded up and laying on the bed.
you're not right, exactly.
No.
So,
So we're
well, here we
here.
are now, and it's a cold open.
It is. And you know what's shocking?
What?
Every time we record an episode, I think we've done like 3 weeks in a row. We're probably up to what, 8, 9,000 listeners per episode? Nope, it's still like 300. So thank you to the loyal three.
Yes, the loyal 300. Those are the ones that are going to be allowed in our post-apocalyptic commune.
They will be allowed in our celestial kingdom. But
Yes.
maybe that number will start going down. Like maybe as we record more regularly, people will be like, well, I got what I wanted and I don't really want it anymore, you know?
Which would be totally
Totally
fair.
fair.
Oh my God.
All
However,
right. Oh, yeah.
recently, like, oh, I don't know, maybe like, maybe it's been a couple months now, 6 weeks. Someone that I follow on Twitter tweeted that they were listening to the most underrated ex-Mormon podcast,
Oh, and it
Hot
was us.
Drakes. Yes.
That was White Cat Prophecy, wasn't it?
Yes, White
They're
Cat
like
Prophecy.
a big deal in the post-mo space or something. I
And they
don't
really,
know.
yeah, I wonder who that person is. If anybody knows, let us know. We
Well,
want to like make out with them.
they've done like get-togethers locally.
How do you know that?
'Cause like I follow people on Twitter and they'll be like, "Hey, we're gonna get together." And of course I don't go 'cause I don't like
Oh.
people, but
Well, like you've been invited?
well, no, like they'll just tweet about it. They'll just say,
Oh.
"Hey, a bunch of us are getting together at this location on this day at this time. I will be the one with the blue flower in my lapel. I don't know. Come and join us."
Cool.
I think the kids
Great.
call that a tweet up.
Oh, learn something new every day.
I mean, that is actually what the kids called it like 20 years ago, but yeah.
Oh, great.
I don't think the current generation of kids call it a tweet up. But anyway.
So I'm using my headphones, which I don't normally do, and you said I sounded okay?
You sound great.
Okay, good.
Just like your regular like Apple headphones.
My Beats that you got me once
Oh,
upon a
your
time.
Bluetooth headphones. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been curious 'cause you'll see people on the Twitter, I mean on the Twitch, on the TikTok. Who are recording and they'll be using their wired like Apple headphones and talking into the little mic. And I thought, should we do that? Would that make us sound better if we talked into the little mic? But
I
oh
think
well.
a lot of people do that, and it is really great sound quality, but I don't have those, so.
So should I get some wired headphones and try that?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, well, can't get worse. Well, that absolutely can. It absolutely can. Well, welcome. This is a podcast called Hot Drinks.
I'm Latter Day Twaint, and you
And
can
I'm
call
Brother
me,
Coffee.
and you can call me anything you want.
I have a comment about, well, never mind. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But I do
Oh.
want to say I love being named Brother Coffee. It just seems so gentle and comforting. Like, don't you want a Brother Coffee?
Yeah, everybody wants a brother coffee.
Like it's like a brother and it's like a warm cup and a hug. I mean, it's a lovely
Yes.
thing.
Aw, yeah,
By the way,
exactly.
I don't know if I've reported back to you on this, but So you lived with me for like a month. Well, for a couple of weeks off and on early in the year. And at the time, my pour over, I had broken it, right? How, or did I break it after? I don't remember. How did we make coffee when you were here? Oh, I had that big pour over. I have that like Chemex thing that's not really
yeah,
Chemex.
I use
So
it too.
my regular pour over had broken. And I'm the bitch that like when I need to replace a kitchen thing, I want like the very best one. I want the one that's been reviewed. You know, I go to Wirecutter, I go to
Oh,
America's Test
yeah.
Kitchen, I read all the things.
Oh, yeah.
So I found the best one. It wasn't super expensive. It was like $30. I ordered it from Amazon and it never came. It just was one of those things where Amazon was like, it's on its way. And then eventually they were like, you can have your
God.
money back.
Dear
Anyway,
God.
they're in their flop era. But what are you working on right now?
Oh, I'm making a cup of tea.
Okay, great. Do you want me to wait?
No, I figured since you were eating cookies last week that this would be okay.
So anyway, so I was like, oh God, I need to reorder that. And then you said to me, and I don't know if we've discussed this, you said, I'm just waiting for a break in the conversation to, just kidding. You said to me,
What?
just buy the pour over from World Market. It's like $8.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went and did that. Did I tell you this?
I think so.
It makes a damn good cup of coffee. Like it is
That's
a
what I'm saying.
quality pour over.
It's a cute little ceramic
And it
thing.
is like $7.99.
Yeah, $7.99. You just buy the paper filters.
Yeah, it's great. I've
Yeah.
been a big fan of it.
Okay. I
So
love
good job.
it. I love it. I don't know why I get excited when people make coffee the same way I do.
Wait, do you still have one of those pour overs? I guess you brought it with you. Because
No,
they don't
I
have world
ordered
markets
one.
in California. Oh, okay.
They do count. They started in Oakland, actually.
Yeah, that I don't know why, but if any of you are in need of a pour over, that one's $8 and it does a great job.
Yeah, I don't have one close to me. I had to have it shipped, and they shipped it in a bag
And
with
then it
no
came
padding.
and it was just crumbled into dust when you
Yeah,
received it.
I had to get another one, which took weeks because customer service, you know what I'm saying?
I had a pour over before. This is fascinating. I bet people are like 300 listeners in one day. I had a very fancy pour over before, and it was some Japanese brand, and it was supposed to be the best of the best. It's the one I broke. And I just think it filtered the coffee too quickly. Like maybe then I needed to adjust and like change the grind size. But what I
Oh.
like about this World Market pour over, it is not quick. Like the coffee takes a minute, but it
Yeah.
brews better because it needs to take a minute
But
anyway.
yeah, exactly. Yes. That's
It's
why
delicious,
I
and
get
it's
frustrated.
$8.
Yeah, that's why I get frustrated with miss like regular old Mr. Coffee machines
Yeah,
because the water
it just
just pours
pisses
right through
that.
the beans.
Yeah, it just pisses that coffee right through.
Like a straight man
Yeah, and you're
standing
like,
up.
you hear, yeah, you're like, this isn't going to taste good, like a straight man standing up. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I love being Brother Coffee.
Well, we love that you are being Brother Coffee.
So what step in the tea making are you on right now?
I'm waiting for the water to boil.
Okay, so all that rustling of papers is you're just look flipping through the phone book or
I'm sorry. I don't. God, I just picked up a piece of paper. That's it.
okay, what kind of coffee are you making? I mean tea.
Peppermint.
Oh, okay, like a tisane, as they say.
Sure, or Bigelow.
That tis I just never I think tisane is Italian for herbal tea, so I don't
Oh,
I
I
hate to
just.
be a newly returned missionary from Italy who's like
No.
come si dice tisane, but I really did have like a little brain lapse there, so I blame
Right.
perimenopause.
Oh, good, as you should.
Well, good. Well, what's go are do you want to jump right into bagels and horrors? What's going on in your life? Do you need to update us?
Let's.
Like, where are we at?
I don't know. Yeah, sure. So this week is midterm week,
Wow.
and then we have a spring break.
Oh, you do?
And yeah.
What are you doing for your spring break?
Looking for a second job.
Oh, okay.
Oh, let me rephrase that. Looking for a fourth job because I already have three total.
I know.
Technically.
I know.
Technically speaking.
I need to get a second job. And by a second job, I mean a fourth job.
Yeah. Yeah. So my resume is updated. So that's what I'll be doing with all my free time over spring break, is finding another serving job.
Okay. Yeah. And it's weird to me. Whenever you talk about finding serving jobs, it's weird to me because you just walk into places and say, here's my resume. Are you looking for servers?
Yeah.
That doesn't work in any other sector. That's done in all the other sectors.
It used to be that way in many sectors.
Yeah, but literally, like, if people come into my job and they're like, I'm looking for a job, I'm like, great. You have to apply online.
Right.
Your resume will first be screened by AI. Then it will get passed on to a recruiter. Then the recruiter will review it. If the recruiter approves you, they'll, like, you coming in does nothing for your case.
Right.
Nothing.
Right. Right.
So it's still wild to me that you do that. But right. I mean, I'm not judging. I just think.
No. You're,
go serving world.
You know, retail is super corporatized unless you're working for a small business retailer.
But I think every company is that way now. They're all like everything. Like, anyway, not to make this episode more boring since we already talked about coffee. But I'm putting my feelers out there to see what jobs are available out in the world. And literally now the advice that they give you is you rewrite your resume for every single job you apply for to tailor your resume to the skills and qualifications and everything that job is looking for.
Ugh.
Because the first thing to read your resume is like a computer. So if it doesn't flag that the skills you've written or the skills you have match the skills that the job is looking for, it won't pull you. So anyway.
Yeah.
But like, what?
I was just going to say, I know so many people who straight up lied about experience and skills on their resume.
Oh, full on. Yeah.
Because they don't check and then they get the job.
Well, like I mean, maybe I shouldn't reveal too much, but I applied for a job recently and I said that I am certified in Salesforce, which is a CRM tool. And I just thought, well, if they hire me, I'll hurry and get certified in Salesforce before I start.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like, exactly.
I don't need to be certified today. They're not going to do a Salesforce quiz at the interview. Anyway, wow, this is the most boring episode we've ever made.
Oh, my God.
But I will say, like, I also need a second job because I have many jobs that are, that provide a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a mystery amount of income each month. Some months it might be a lot of income.
Mystery.
Some months it's like $100. And so I just need something that's a little bit, that I can count on a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That I'm like, I'm going to get, even if it's like, I'm going to get $600 a month from this job, you know, like I just need
but
to count
you know
on
it's $600 every month.
Yeah.
You know it. Yeah.
Are you shaking the tea now?
No, did you, this is what I was just clapping.
Oh, okay.
To sort reiterate.
Sort of like butt stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Let's go. Butt stuff. Is that how it went? With
I don't remember. And also, how did I clap if I was holding my phone? What did I do with my phone? I don't remember.
I don't know, but you did. I remember it. Butt stuff. Let's go.
Butt stuff. Okay. Anyway. what are your bagels and horrors? Do you have any bagels? Any horrors?
Are we back to bagels and horrors?
Well, I don't remember what the other one is. It's Chantilly something and something that doesn't rhyme with it. So we can stick with that one if you want. But like, I went to write them down in my notes and I was like,
it's
Chantilly.
Fine.
Yeah, listen, I can't remember. It's not clicking for me.
I know. C. Jane called us out last week. She's like, I wouldn't be a friend if I didn't tell you that Chantilly cream and agonies isn't working. And I'm just like, how is that different from bagels and horrors? It's just two random things. But we need to come up with something, maybe.
I know you don't understand how it's different, but it's wildly different.
It's just random. They're both random. Okay. So speaking of CJ, she's coming to visit me this week.
Oh, did I know that already? Because you posted something about it and I was like, wait, did we talk about this?
Yeah. Yes. I think she mentioned it in one of our Marco Polos.
Is she coming for your spring break?
Actually, it just happened to time that way. But I asked her if she would come out to do a mushroom journey with me.
Oh. That's interesting that you didn't ask me to come.
Isn't it? Because it was really shitty of me because you've been wanting to do a mushroom journey for so long.
Listen.
And by that, I mean, never.
I do need to get my shit together and come visit you. Because now it's like the spring in San Francisco. Who doesn't want to experience that?
It's pretty great.
Ugh. Okay, yeah. So she's coming out.
Yeah,
that's and a
she'll
horror.
Be here for like she'll be here for 3 nights.
Okay.
And I don't know which day we're doing the mushroom journey, but I've tried it before, you know, and I know I've talked about it on here, but I've tried it before, and because of my SSRI, my Zoloft, nothing happened, and I did a standard dose, so we're gonna go crazy.
Oh God, I'm terrified. But I trust C. Jane.
I do too. She's very well versed in it, so
I think she knows what she's doing.
And then my sister, who is affectionately known on here, Sister Volva,
right?
She gave me a tarot reading in preparation for the upcoming journey.
Okay.
And it was fascinating. And she's my sister. You know, we're different in many ways.
Right.
Right. But she is always spot on when she gives my readings, my tarot readings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what about you? Do you have any yellow cake with chocolate frosting or
shit
use
pie.
Toilet paper?
Yeah.
I said use toilet paper.
mine are very minor, but they're just little moments of joy today. I came home from work. We were getting ready to record. I needed to have dinner. And I thought, what can I have for dinner? And I thought of a Mary Jo Coco-ism. Which, Mary Jo Coco is my mother. When we were kids, we would say, what's for dinner? And she would say, we're having Musco. And we would say, what's Musco? And she would say, everything in the fridge must go. So it's just all the random leftover shit in the fridge.
Okay.
So that's what I had for dinner tonight was a little fried rice, a little tuna casserole, just like a bunch of little things that there wasn't enough room for. So it was a little Musco. And then that also reminded me of another Mary Jo Coco-ism. And these are my bagels. That's all. This is it. Just two Mary Jo Coco-isms. So my ex-wife still to this day says this, but whenever we had a meal at Mary Jo Coco's and it was like, let's say you're having a Sunday dinner and you're having turkey, mashed potatoes and gravy, a roll, corn, maybe stuffing, you know, like that's kind of the genre you're in.
Okay.
Mary Jo Coco would say, this is your basic brown and beige meal, you know, like...
Oh, wow.
But it was a thing because we didn't eat green vegetables, I don't think, much. So there were a lot of...
Neither did we.
There were a lot of brown and beige meals. This is your basic brown and beige meal. Anyway, I don't know why I wanted to share those, but I did.
Neither did we. And then if we did have a green vegetable, it was canned peas or canned green beans.
Ooh, I do love a canned green bean, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
Sure. I just wonder if it has any nutritional value, you know.
I know. A canned pea, no, non me gusta.
we'd pour ranch all over them.
And do you have any horrors? Any, we could call these euphorias and tintinitis. Do you have any tintinitises?
See, this is what I'm saying. You getting it? You're getting that's the ticket.
But bagels and anyway.
Let me see. Okay, so just that I have so much to do for midterms. On top of working and
finding another job.
But it'll all be over Thursday afternoon at 1:00 because that's my last class of the week. And then C. Jane flies in at like 1:07.
Oh, gorgeous. Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Is the stuff you have to do, is it like, because are you like writing papers? Is it like performances you have to like submit videos of? Like what is the stuff you have to do?
Okay, so acting for camera, I already submitted, and we went over it in class today. I got an A.
Good job. Was that the one from Abbott Elementary?
Yes, it was the third and final take. So we get a script, and we do two takes that we discuss in class, and we submit the third for a grade.
You don't watch that. Yo, you're like early seasons in Abbott Elementary. Because it was, I don't want to say it was hard for me to watch. It wasn't hard for me, but like it was interesting to watch you do it because you did it with a very different, like I know Abbott Elementary and I know the characters and I know the names and, you know, whatever.
Right.
It was interesting to watch you do it with just like a different take on it. Like you were not trying, I mean, I would think this is a good thing. You weren't trying to copy
Right.
Abbott Elementary. You were just taking, you
Exactly.
were like, here's a script in front of me. This is
Right.
how I would interpret this as an actress. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And then I just watched some episodes to kind of get context in the re of the relationships with the
Yeah.
characters. And then so tomorrow is my long day. Tuesdays I have class from 9 to noon and then 1:30 to 6.
I think you've mentioned that every episode we've
I'm
recorded
sure I have
in 2024.
because I want everyone to never forget that I have 7.5 hours of class on
I just
Tuesday.
hope on everyone on Tuesdays, I hope you're just going, you're pouring one out. You're like, this one goes out to the real ones who have class from 9 to 12:30 and then 2 to 6.
Ones, yes. So, midterm tomorrow in creating physical characters, we are doing French clown, which is just a red nose. That's
I have my
it.
final tomorrow in French clown.
Yes, and
My
then
midterm.
my midterm, and then Meisner is it's two things, but anyway, and then Thursday is voice and speech, and there's always multiple things that we have due every week. And this coming week, we're starting to work on Shakespearean sonnets. So we're really getting into the nitty-gritty.
They're starting it this week and the midterms are this week.
Well, we started on sonnets maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Basically, what the homework we're turning in tomorrow or on Thursday, she's counting as our midterm grade.
I mean, I have to say, I think myself and the gentle listeners should count ourselves lucky because here you are recording an episode, and tomorrow you have your final in French Clown. And you like, it would have been very easy to say, I'm sorry, I have too much French clown work to do. I cannot record tonight. But here you are making time.
Here I am, and that's very sweet of you to point that out.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you, and thank you, Red Nose. So
Yeah.
my horrors, number one is just
Ha
a shocking fact I learned today, accidentally.
Oh no.
What do you th if you had to guess the top two highest grossing movies in the last 8 months, and I'll give you a hint, they share, there is an actor that shares between the two of them. What two movies would you guess?
Oh.
The highest grossing movies of the last 8 months.
Okay. Barbie?
Nope.
Oppenheimer?
Nope. Like what, like, okay, one of them is obvious. It's Dune 2. Dune 2.
Oh, and then Wonka.
Wonka!
Oh,
I did not
God.
know a soul on earth who saw Wonka.
Exactly. Same. I don't know anybody who saw
It is a
that.
highest gross, it is one of the highest grossing movies like of the year.
What the fuck?
Like,
Oh
anyway,
God.
that's a horror. That
Yeah,
is a horror.
that is a straight up horror. And we're getting Timothy Chalamet fatigue. He's already started work on a film where he's going to be playing a young Bob Dylan, and he's
Yeah,
tri it's
I
like
saw that is like an SNL sketch. I was I just I saw the
thank you.
photos and I was like, no, nope.
Yeah, I'm also gotten Florence Pugh fatigue.
Oh, never, never.
I'm sorry, but like she was in Oppenheimer
Didn't
as
see it.
I know, and as a token role, and then she was
Right.
in Dune 2 as a token role,
Didn't see it.
and in both of those, I was just like, she just dialed both of these in and is incredibly boring in both roles.
Wow. Well, those are fighting words.
You got to see him, and then before we can get into a real fight, we got to make it a
Okay.
fair fight.
I gotta finish Dune 1 before I can watch Dune 2. And I gotta finish Heimer before I can finish Oppenheimer, you know? Oppenheimer's not gonna make any sense unless you've seen Heimer first.
Me, brother.
I'm a funny guy. Well, okay, and here's my other horror, and then I want to give a little history of this episode, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do the episode. The episode's going to be about 3 minutes long. Just kidding. Okay, so as we've discussed, I'm in therapy. Yes. And I don't know if I've discussed this, but I'm actually in the process of looking for a new therapist because I recognized all of this is so mature and so grown up of me. I recognized that my current therapist was not the right therapist to work on some specific issues that I wanted to work on. Just based on some conversations we've had, based on some history, I just thought, oh, you're not the guy that I need to solve this stuff with. And specifically, I've made lots of progress in my general therapeutic life, but specifically I need to do some more work around sex and sexuality and relationships. And I just thought, you know, you're not the therapist for me. So he helped. So I told him that, which also shout out to me for being so grown up and mature. And he said, he was like, great, let me help you find some new ones. Like he found like a bunch of names for me, people. And then he was like, reach out to these people, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm doing all of that. I've met with several of them on sort of like consultation calls. I have an actual session with one of them this week. But this is the horror. When I was doing a consultation call with one of them this week, not the one that I'm actually meeting with, but a different one. Number one, he was a queer man, but he also had spent a lot of his career providing therapy in the military. So in the background of his office was an American flag. And I just thought, I can't have therapy and be looking at an American flag. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I just
can't do it. No.
But number two, are you making some origami?
No. I'm sorry. I'm listening. Go.
Number two, he said to me, because I said to him, you know, I told him that whole story. I've been with this therapist. We've been doing EMDR. It's been great. I really want to work on some things around like relationships and sexuality and sex. And he said, oh, okay. When was your last relationship? And I said, oh, well, it was my marriage to my heterosexual wife 10 years ago. And that was a horror. I was thinking about it, like, since my marriage to my heterosexual wife 10 years ago, I think I've had 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, like, second dates, if you know, like, dates where I've gone out with someone and then we have met a second time. Like, that has maybe happened 4 times in the last 10 years. So when he was like, when was your last relationship? It was like, oh, honey, like, we're not even, it's not like I could even be like, oh, should I consider the thing with so-and-so a relationship? What? Well, this was kind of more of a situationship. It's like, well, I've had about 4 second dates since then. So my last relationship was my eternal temple marriage to my heterosexual wife. Anyway, that was she's a gem and I love her, but that was the horror, was that realization. So anyway,
I get it. I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're out. Okay. You're out. You're gay. You are.
Yes.
You I are am. Free. Okay. Just follow me.
Yeah.
You're free to date the kinds of people that you want.
Right.
You have that freedom.
Right.
And yet you are terrified. We all know this. You're terrified. Right. You have a lot of trouble with being a go-getter. So
you have a lot of trouble with being a go-getter.
So how in the world did you end up marrying a woman?
Right.
How did that happen?
Mormon terror.
Okay. But were you at the same time squashing, like tamping down abject fear?
100%. Yeah.
Okay.
So this reminds me, and I hope my ex doesn't mind me sharing the story, but
she doesn't.
So one of our children also has a lot of struggles with anxiety, and that child was in therapy this week, and my ex was present. And my child's therapist said to them, you know, Do either of your parents also suffer from this kind of anxiety? You know, like, is this some, you know, and my child said, yeah, my dad does have this, also has this kind of anxiety. And the therapist said, well, have you ever talked to him about what he did to work through it, or how he, because specifically for my child, the anxiety is around like making it to school and, you know, those kinds of things. So the therapist said, have you talked to him? Like, how did he work through it? And my ex, who's brilliant, interjected and said, oh, he didn't work through, like, neither one of us worked through any of this stuff. We just did it. We just did it because we knew that there was no option not to do it. Like, we did it because we knew that, we did it out of fear of our parents and fear of God. And that's why we did it. Like, there was no working through this. We just gritted our teeth and sucked in the trauma to sort of like wade through the fear to get it done. So,
We
like,
are as the armies of Helaman, you
yeah,
know.
so it's not like I can turn to my child and say, oh, when I was experiencing fear about marrying your mother because I was a gay man and she was a straight woman, here are some of the tools that I used to cope with that fear. No. It was just abject, like, you have to do this or everything will be ruined and everyone will find out and everyone will know what a piece of shit, like, tool of Satan you are.
Broken
And so
human.
you, and just what a horrible, awful thing you are. And so you have to do this or they will know and you will lose everything. So
So
that's what I did.
one more quick question, and
Yeah.
then we can take a break. I assume. Was there ever a time in your courting of Tisha, or I don't know, was she courting you? That's not my question, but that's a question. Did you court each other? Was she the initiator?
I mean, it was, oh God, I don't even like talking about this because it makes me feel terrible, but it was more that, like, she would be like, I mean, this is the simplified version of it, but like she would be like, oh, I think we should get engaged. And I'd be like, yeah, like sometime in the next 7 to 10 years, we should get engaged. You know what I mean? Like, where she would be thinking like, oh, sometime this summer we should, you know, get engaged. And I'd be like, yeah, I totally agree. Like, hopefully sometime before 2032, yeah, I think that's the right path. So it was like, I mean, I don't know who was courting who, but it was like her wanting things to move in a certain, at a certain speed, and me reluctantly trying to, like, you know, anyway.
So my question is, was there a time during your engagement that you were like, oh dear God, I can't do this?
No, never.
Because you were motivated by all the fear and promises of.
Yeah, I mean, the fear, and like also, like, I really love Tisha and like we're really good friends even to this day. So there was a lot of like, okay, like if this is gonna happen, this is who it's gonna happen with, you know? And like, and certainly there was fear about lots of things that I will need to talk to my therapist about, but like, but no, like in my head, I just thought, like, well, this is my chance. Like, so we're gonna make it happen anyway.
I see.
God, bagels and horrors indeed. Okay, so let's take a break, but I want to just give a quick, like, description of like how we came to this episode and then what we're gonna talk about, and then we'll take a break and then we'll jump in. And then am I going first or are you going first when we come back?
Ooh,
Okay,
that's a
well, you
tough
think
one.
about that. Let me, I just want to give a little history. So we, after last week's episode, which we really felt like was one of our top three episodes, we just thought, okay, maybe we can't always do a top five. Like, maybe we need some other formats
Which we've tried in the
to throw in
past.
there. Yeah, and in the past we used to do like interviews, and I'm totally open to maybe doing those again, but there's just some technical difficulties, especially since we're already in two places, and then with an interview we're potentially in three places, and you know, who knows how that'll go. So that's something
Squeezy.
we're open to, but we were like, okay, so let's come up with some alternative things to top five so that we have, if we don't want to do a top five, we can do a, this type of episode. Uh-huh. So I reached out to you today and I said, what if one of our types of episodes, we call it either like What the Fudge Mormons or Oh My Heck Mormons. Uh-huh. And we just talk about some nonsense going on in Mormonism, past, mm-hmm. present, future, whatever.
Whatever.
And I have, and we are doing that today, and we have a couple present examples to talk about. And your response to that type of episode was?
I can't stomach the thought, literally, like my body revulses at the idea of doing a regular episode about Mormonism. I can't do it.
You were like, I will throw up my shit. If we have to do that, yeah.
Every cell in my body was like, fuck no. So
yeah, I respect that.
And I'm fine with talking about Mormonism, just not, I can't regularly plan on it, right?
No. Yeah. So we are doing that today. And I even said like, okay, well, like, let's come up with a different plan. You're like, no, let's do it today. I just can't have it be like an every other week kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
So we are doing it today. So we are doing a, what do you prefer? Do you prefer like What the Fudge Mormons or do you prefer Oh My Heck Mormons for the name?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to step away from that. From the,
I'm going to go with What the Fudge Mormons.
Okay.
Mostly because of mostly because of the episode of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City where Lisa Barlow said to her son Jack, well, don't you want to go to college? And he said, fudge college, mom. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do a semi-annual fudge college mom episode of Hot Drinks. And the two things that we're talking about this week are, number one, a new requirement at BYU where every incoming student reads Elder Holland's famous musket fire talk.
Yes.
As a requirement.
Uh-huh.
And then number two, which you will be talking about, is, I believe it was last night, was the General Relief Society meeting of the church.
It was the worldwide Relief Society devotional.
Where basically the Relief Society lady, whatever she is, uh-huh. said, there has never been a church where women have as much power and authority as they do in the Mormon church, or something to that effect.
To paraphrase it. Well, I've got it verbatim, so.
Okay, so we're going to talk about those. So do you want, when we come back, are we going Relief Society? Are we dialing in C-Jane? Or are we going Fudge Mormonism, Mom?
Let's.
And talking about BYU.
Let's start with BYU and then bring in C-Jane for the Relief Society part.
Will you, because when I said to C-Jane, do you want us to bring you in? I just got a thumbs up. Is that an affirmative?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, but will you try to confirm that while we get ready for the... Okay, so let's take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about BYU and their new plans to indoctrinate children.
Can't wait. Bye.
We don't have to sing.
Let's not.
Oh, hello, gentle listener.
Welcome to Hot Drinks. Before...
I'm fucking drunk.
God damn it.
Hot Drinks.
Hot
Drinks.
So I'm already drunk.
Like and subscribe.
Hello.
Oh, you sound great.
Only four tries that time.
What did you do differently this time?
Thanks, Spotify for podcasters. Nothing.
Oh, great. Well, here we are.
Okay. So we are diving into this musket talk nonsense.
Yes. So if people remember, I should have written down the date and time, but...
I'll look it up while you're talking.
No, I got it. Jeffrey R. Holland in 2021 gave a... controversial speech, and it was at some sort of BYU like devotional or something.
Sure was.
It was specifically directed at BYU students and BYU faculty. And basically it was, first of all, I just want to say for the record, Jeffrey R. Holland, what a fucking piece of shit. Like, I know the Mormons love him and just like when he does that droopy dog cry and like, they're just like, oh, Elder Holland.
I know.
But that manipulative piece of shit, like he is a horrible, horrible human being. Yes. But anyway, he gave a talk and I'll get into some more specifics, but like at BYU, directed to BYU students and faculty, where basically used multiple times, he used the phrase musket fire, like we need more musket fire from like our faithful students and teachers to defend, you know, whatever, BYU and God and whatnot. And it was like, even at the time, was very controversial, and many, many organizations, including like, I think the name is like Rainbow, and it's like BYU's like queer affirming organization, was like, this, when you are speaking to a marginalized group and you talk about, you use language, even if you're using it metaphorically, to say we need more musket fire directed at these people, like that's a call for violence. Like you're, and these these organizations have said, you know, in light of what we're going to talk about, they have said, we have had people use that terminology towards us in harmful ways, you know, this idea of like musket fire or whatever. Anyway, so he gave this talk in 2021. It was like, when I heard it, I was aghast. Like, I could not believe. And I have, you know, as we've mentioned, I have friends who are still very Mormon. I have friends who work for BYU. And I sent the talk to those friends and I said, so like, do you have to bring your own muskets? Or like, are they going to provide those? Like, how does this musket fire work? Like, just so I can be prepared. Like, do you need to provide those yourself? Like, do you get reimbursed for the muskets?
And they were like, oh gosh, Brother Coffee, I just
and they're, yeah, and this. Basically their response was, oh boy, oh, I don't know.
I hate this just as much as you do.
Yeah, anyway.
But let me write my tithing check and then I'll finish my conversation with you.
And then and go to my job at BYU. Anyway.
Right.
Okay, so it was recently announced that at BYU, every newly enrolling student, so transfer student or new student, in their first semester at BYU will have to take a class and just, like, I just want to put this on a t-shirt. Like, they will have to take a class. It's entitled UNIV 101, University 101, : BYU, Foundations for Student Success, A New Chapter for BYU. That's the name of the class. Every incoming student has to take this class. Can you imagine a more godforsaken class than BYU Foundations for Student Success, A New Chapter for BYU?
No.
This class should just be called Indoctrination 101.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Okay, so they have to read this talk in this class. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, parts of the talk were removed before they, but in the copy that the students will have to read in this class. And a lot of my information about what was removed comes from an Instagram account that's Latter-day Les, like lesbian, who did a lot of this work. So shout out to Latter-day Les, because I'm stealing her work.
Shout out.
Butt stuff. So, and again, if this was an actual, if BYU was an actual university or an actual academic, if they had any sort of academic standard, there would be some sort of like, we will be studying this talk in this class, you know, for clarity's sake, certain sections have been removed. To view the whole talk, please click here. You know, there would be something just saying like, hey, we took a couple things out, we get it, but if you want to see the full talk, click here. Of course, BYU is not doing that. They're pretending that those parts of the talk never existed. So I want to talk about what was taken out of the talk first.
Yes, please do tell.
So number one, and some of these are like, when you hear what was taken out versus what was left in, it's a joy.
Oh my God.
The first thing that was taken out was a weird quote attributed to Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, that wasn't left in.
No, it was taken out. And it was, as Elizabeth Taylor said to her 8 husbands, I won't be keeping you long. That was taken out. We just cut that. We were like, we can't have this quote from Elizabeth Taylor in this talk to her 8 husbands. They're like, we got to cut. We got to have standards. We got to cut
what
that.
What the fuck was he even talking about when he said that?
Let me see. Let me look at context. Okay, let's see. If anyone in the audience is in kind of sorry. Oh, he was just talking about how long he had been coming to BYU. And if anyone, he basically said, if anyone in the audience has been coming to this campus longer than that, please come forward and give this talk. Otherwise, sit still and be patient. As Elizabeth Taylor said to her 8 husbands, I won't be keeping you long.
What the fuck?
So that cut. They were like, okay. Nope, that's a bridge too far, cut. Okay. The number 2 thing that was cut. So a lot of this talk, President Droopy Dog. What's his name? President.
Holland.
What's Holland? Yeah, I literally forgot.
Yeah.
He's talking about when he was BYU president, and he. So anyway, he's saying something about President Nelson. I don't even know. Anyway, he's saying some dumb thing about President Nelson controlling the purse strings and deciding like where the university could spend money, blah blah blah. That got cut. Okay.
Oh,
whatever.
Okay.
Not that interesting, but
sure.
But it was right after a quote where President Nelson said, "A college education for our people is a sacred responsibility, but it is not essential for eternal life." So that was a quote that he said.
And that got cut.
The quote didn't get cut. Just following that quote, there was a comment about President Nelson being involved in like the expenditures of the departments, and that got cut. Okay, the number 3 thing that was cut was, I think, is kind of one of the bigger deals. But so in this talk, President Holland talked about a student whose name is Maddie Easton, who was the valedictorian of BYU in I don't know what year. Who in his valedictorian speech came out and talked about being a queer student at BYU.
Yeah.
Now, Maddie Easton, who I know and who I follow on social media and who I've talked to about this, everything he said in that talk that he gave, that his valedictorian speech, was like, he had to submit that speech ahead of time. It was reviewed by, you know, boards and people. It was approved. Like, he did not just go like off script. Like, this was like a plan. Like, people read it, they approved it.
Like
he was like this, like everyone knew I was going to say that, and it was approved. But when Elder Holland talked about this in his talk, I won't read the whole quote because no one needs to hear that much Elder Holland, but he basically said, if a student commandeers a graduation podium intended to represent everyone getting diplomas that day in order to announce his personal sexual orientation, what might another speaker feel free to announce the next year until eventually anything goes?
Oh.
So when Elder Holland gave this talk, Maddie Easton was like, yeah, bitch, like everything I said was approved. Like, this, I was not going rogue. Like, people knew what I was going to talk about, and they had okayed it ahead of time. So whole section is removed. He does not, it's like a whole paragraph about Maddie Easton. That whole section is removed.
Has been removed. Okay.
Right. And again, if this was a real university or a real academic institution, they would say, we have removed a few segments for these reasons. Here's the original. But in classic, you know, Mormon, in classic Mormon behavior, they're just pretending that section never existed. What are you talking about? We never called out a student. Like, that would be really inappropriate. Like, what? Right. What?
I know. It's so embarrassing that they do that because the internet is forever. You cannot post
something. No, and they have
no
idea. Like, the Mormon church still thinks that they can just get up to the pulpit. And I think this especially becomes clear when we get to your segment. But the Mormon church thinks they can just stand up at the pulpit and say, you guys, we have the church that treats women the best out of every church. And then everyone listening will go, oh my God, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to be a part of this.
Right.
And here's the sad thing. A lot of smart women that we know do that. But
I know.
But a lot of people go, yeah, no, that's not true. Like, I can look at other religions and see how they treat women, and this is not true. So
right,
anyway.
Right.
Okay. The next thing they removed he's talking about sort of, it's this whole big stupid musket argument, but basically he's talking about how, you know, professors get confused in trying to show support for these kind of worldly ideas. But I just think the phrasing is really interesting. He said, so many who are confused about what so much recent flag waving and parade holding on this issue means.
Jeez,
so
what that could line they be talking about?
What possible group could you be talking about when you mention flags and parades?
And parades, yeah.
Not Blue Lives Matter. That's not who you're talking about. Not the MAGA crowd.
No.
Like, that is imagery intentionally chosen to evoke the LGBTQ pride parades and pride flags.
100%.
You know, and that's what's confusing people. So that line was removed, even though everything around it was not. And then the last line that was removed, which is so weird. So when he talks about musket fire, he's actually quoting a talk from some other brethren who basically says, like, we should be like the people who built the Kirtland Temple, who had a shovel in one hand and a musket in the other, that were building and defending at the same time.
Right.
And then he says, my brethren have made the case for the metaphor of musket fire, which I have endorsed yet again today. That line, which I have endorsed yet again today, is cut. So, like, the whole part about the whole part about musket fire is fine. The whole part about calling for firing back at queer people or intellectuals or whatever is fine, but just that line about him also endorsing it today, that's what was removed.
Oh my God.
So the church powers that be, they read this talk and they were like, I don't think that line about Elizabeth Taylor is appropriate. We should cut that. And then they were like, here's the line about shooting gay people. That's fine. You guys feel like that's fine, right? Like, that's cool. Let's leave that in.
Right. Yeah. We wouldn't want to disparage the memory of Elizabeth Taylor, but...
But please shoot gay people.
The lives of the LGBTQ community in the Mormon church that are hanging in the balance are much less important.
So let me just, Jesus Christ, I could go on for 1,000 hours about this talk. When he mentions the line about musket fire, he does say that it's specifically in reference to the doctrine of the family and defending marriage as the union between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, this was like... When Elder Oaks said this line about musket fire, it was specifically directed towards the school of family life. You know, the sort of like the school that teaches, you know, that does like elementary education for women or whatever. Anyway.
Right.
So here's just a couple things I want to point out from this talk and about how abhorrent this talk is. So there's a point in the talk where he says, I and many of my brethren have spent, this is talking about same-sex, like queer people.
Uh-huh.
I and many of my brethren have spent more time and shed more tears on this subject than we could ever adequately convey to you this morning or any morning. So this is a classic, like, you are the oppressor, but you want to make this story about you.
Yes.
And about how many tears you have shed.
Yeah.
About this very difficult issue
of
same-sex people.
It's like when a parent is spanking you and is saying, this hurts me just as much as it hurts you.
Yes. Or it's like when you try to talk to your, you know, boomer parent about like things that happened in your childhood that were difficult. And they say, well, I guess I was just a terrible mother then, I guess. And you're like, no, like, I just am trying to talk about my experience. But immediately it's like, you guys have no idea how much time I've spent crying.
I know.
Just hear Droopy Dog being like, the tears we have shed.
I know.
Like, bitch, think of the tears that have been shed by the queer students who have had friends of theirs kill themselves or leave the university or get excommunicated. Like, I don't fucking care about your tears, Droopy Dog.
We don't give a fuck.
No. And then kind of in that same paragraph, he says, he just talks about how the brethren have just struggled over this issue and just said, what we really need to do, you know, what we as a university community need to do is we need to avoid the language and the symbols and the situations that are divisive, that are ununifying.
Oh my God.
And we need to focus on showing love for all God's children. So again,
all lives matter.
The problem is the divisiveness. The problem is not that we oppress queer students. The problem is that, like, the problem is the queer students who are mentioning that we're oppressing them. And then we're like, oh my God, you guys quit being so divisive. Like, can't we all just get along?
Exactly. And like the abusive parent says, well, I wouldn't have to do this if you just fall in line.
Right.
It's a child's fault.
Right. And what's so interesting about that too, is like, he literally says in that paragraph, I hope all will try to avoid language, symbols, and situation that are more divisive than unifying. And then in the very next paragraph, he says, let me go no further before declaring unequivocally my love that of my brethren for those who live with this same-sex challenge. So paragraph one, let's not use divisive language. Paragraph two, same-sex challenge. Listen, none of us who are into the same sex find it challenging. We are very good at it.
Yeah.
We do a great job.
Yeah.
And so when he says divisive, when he says divisive language, what he doesn't mean saying, you know, marriage is ordained of a man and a woman. That's not divisive language. Divisive language would be saying things like, there are students who are queer, who this is hurting. Well, that's divisive. Divisive language is only divisive if it contradicts what you teach or what you want to be part of the conversation.
Exactly. This reminds me of when Bednar, I think this was probably 2015 or 16, said that there are no homosexuals in heaven.
Right. Well, and he said there were no homosexual Mormons also.
Oh, I didn't remember that part.
Well, maybe it was him. Anyway, but yeah, it's like, oh, no, let's not use divisive language, but all of the language that they use, which is divisive. Anyway.
What they're saying is, we don't want to talk about the fact that there are people who do not fit inside this structure.
And who are suffering.
Right.
Because so if let's we just acknowledge pretend
we're that, all the same.
Yeah, if we acknowledge that they are suffering, then we acknowledge that we have a part to play in their suffering.
Bingo.
Here's, like, let me just read. Everyone take a deep breath.
Okay.
If you're on the treadmill, take a seat. If you're driving, pull over.
Okay.
Let me just read this line from this talk from a leader of the Mormon Church. Talking about queer people. Too often, the world has been unkind, in many instances, crushingly cruel to those our brothers and sisters. Like you, we have spent many hours with them. Elder Holland has not spent 5 minutes with a gay person. except the twink that gives him a blowjob on Wednesday night.
I mean, just that one. Just that.
And we have wept and prayed and wept again in an effort to offer love and hope while keeping the gospel strong and obedience to the commandments evidence in every element of individual life. Fuck these cunts.
Yeah.
Fuck these cunts.
I know.
And then the last line that I want to mention from this talk is at one point in the talk, he says, for example, we have to be careful that love and empathy do not get misrepresented as condoning and advocacy. Because you know what's more important than love and empathy? Condoning and advocacy. Or I guess what's more important is letting people know that you don't condone and don't advocate. So if that means not loving, that's fine.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, so this is a new talk that will be read by all BYU students as they come into school.
As a requirement.
Yeah.
And it's like these BYU students are going in and they're going to have to read this. I don't know how they're going to prove it. Are they going to have to like write a little essay?
I'm sure it's like part of the class. Yeah, I'm sure they like discuss it in class.
Oh,
and,
right.
Have quizzes about it. And, right. Like, it's like, did you read chapter 3 of The Great Gatsby, you know?
Right. So they're going to hear this thing about how love and empathy aren't as, shouldn't be valued over, what was it?
Over, like, adherence to obedience and like, condoning. The gospel. Yeah.
And those that are going in that really do
and I'm not being flippant here, have a testimony of Jesus Christ are going right. to be so confused.
Right.
Because we are taught as Mormons that Christ is love, that his gospel right. is love.
Right.
So then,
and acceptance, what the fuck? And yeah. I just, it's like, it's so clear. And I mean, again, this is kind of like you said, like, that they're still operating the church under this assumption that, like, all of us are stupid, and that if they tell us something, we're going to believe it. But it's so clear that having incoming students read this talk, like, this is a direct attack on trying to convince students that they should not love their queer friends. Or they mm-hmm. should not support their queer friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so crystal clear that this is not like, oh, you know, we're going to be studying lots of talks, and this is just one of the many that we're going to be looking at. They were like, we need some way to convince these incoming freshmen that those friendships that they had with, you know, their queer friend in high school or their bi friend or whatever are evil. So how do we get them to... How do we make that happen on like day one? And they were like, "Oh, let's have a class called UNIV 101 BYU courses and curriculum : stand in the circle of Carl G. Mazur : welcome to the Wilk motherfuckers."
Oh man.
Anyway, so that's what the fudge the Mormons are up to this week.
Interesting. How they're doubling down and not being careful about leaving out the language that talks about love and empathy. They're intentionally leaving in language about muskets. It's very much like the Republican Party.
Right. Like they're saying the quiet part out loud. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not at all trying to like mask this or make you think that, like, oh, you've misunderstood. They're like, no, 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 let's cut out all the lines about empathy and Elizabeth Taylor, which is homophobia. When you cut lines out of a talk about Elizabeth Taylor, that's homophobia.
I know. It just makes me think that maybe Jeff, you know, Holland.
They all are.
Is, yeah, because...
They all are.
Elizabeth Taylor was the Zendaya of her day.
That's so true. Because, oh my God, I love Zendaya so much. Okay, so do you want to take a little break before we talk about your Mormon gaslighting? Or should we just end the episode? What do you want to do?
Well, we need to see if CJ is going to join. So let's take a break.
You text her and I'll do the things on the back end where I connect the audio file to the...
Oh my God.
To the Gabapentin. And, oh and you reach out to CJ.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
Oh,
and
hello.
We're back.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. And that was just one try.
Do you need a lozenge?
Okay.
So can I tell a quick story just because during the break, my cat came up to make biscuits on my feet.
Oh my God, what?
So this morning, I had an alarm set to wake up, and I'm not entirely clear what happened because I was just waking up, but said alarm went off, and I must have rolled over quickly, or, you know, I must have jolted awake in some way, because my cat Lando, I scared him, he jumped into the air, landed on my face, extended his claws into my face, and then leapt away, like in the first 3.5 seconds of me being awake.
Of your life today.
So I stumble awake. I'm turning off the alarm. I feel my face. Blood is running down my cheek into my beard. Because his little claw like sunk into my cheek. Anyway. And you know what? It was my fault. Because I maybe I shouldn't have woken up so startled and scared him.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so anyway, I was like, I like got up, I was like brushing my teeth, I'm like cleaning blood out of my beard, I'm like, I just need my coffee.
I love it.
Anyway.
I just want to put this out there.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on to my segment.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's put it out there.
Stop it.
What if I talk this whole segment in this gentle,
like soothing Delilah
voice? Like Delilah. Oh God, mother.
Didn't our dead friend love Delilah?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, maybe anyway. I'm thinking about somebody else who loved. Okay, so maybe we're not as funny when we record weekly.
God, listen.
Maybe it takes some time to build up and accumulate, you know.
Build up the funny.
Yeah, but
we just want 10 million people to listen so we can like get a big fat check every month. And so we're like, is it weekly? Is that how we get there? We don't know.
Yeah. So, anyway. Okay. I was at a concert a few weeks ago and the opening band said, hey, we've got some merch out front by the doors. Please buy some because we need to pay rent. And then his brother who was on bass was like, we're kidding. And then the guy who originally said it was like, no, we're not. And I was uncomfortable. So maybe we need to stop talking about that.
about money?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
Okay. If you're listening to this episode, you know how to support us. So I'm not even going to bring it up. Yes. You know what to do.
Okay.
You know what to do. And if you do any of those things, I will happily give you a BJ.
And the gentle listener who just signed up, remember last week when we were when you discovered that? You were talking about that. There was someone who just signed up. They have been listening since the beginning. And so they know that we are not producing new content on our Patreon. No,
bless them.
But
bless
they them. Had been meaning to sign up and they're thrilled about the backlog of content that's there.
I do want to say also in this kind of note. So we sell some merch. And we do not make very much money at all from that merch. Like, because first of all, we get charged for the actual item, like the t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we get the money. So we get the difference between what it costs to produce the item and what we're selling the item for. That is how capitalism works. Anyway, so so the other day we sold a t-shirt, which I'm so grateful for. And I was like, okay. And like literally, between the two of us, we get like $10 for the t-shirt.
Right.
But then Etsy sent me a message and they were like, hey, because you're a new shop, we're going to hold that $10 for 90 days just in case. So I like texted you and I was like, hey, someone bought a shirt. I'll send you some money soon. And then I'm like, stand by, your $3 share will be arriving in 90 days. 90 anyway.
Days. Yeah. I love it.
Was it the guy with the big feet that said we're joking about the rent?
Oh no, that was the opening band that the guy said this. The guy. Oh,
okay. Okay. Anyway,
the guy that is hot that plays the baritone sax was in the main band. The reason I was there. Yeah.
I can only get so erect. Anyway, let's talk about the Relief Society meeting.
So there was this worldwide Relief Society devotional.
Right.
And
you're right. We cannot do this Mormon thing too often. I'm already sick to my stomach.
Exactly.
I had to read a Jeffrey R. Holland talk.
And I, for this episode, listened to the talk from the Worldwide Relief Society devotional.
That is a bridge too far.
I know. It was 4 days ago, by the way. Okay. I listened to the whole talk by J. Annette Dennis. And and her entire demeanor through the talk, because it's not in print yet. I'm sure it will be. They transcribe everything.
I'm so sorry. I did not mean to assign this to you if there is not a print version.
I know, right? This entire, so she herself looks like Droopy Dog, first of all. And secondly.
And she talks like this, brothers and sisters.
Oh yeah. And her entire demeanor throughout the talk was a very gentle yet firm pleading. Okay. So if I don't convey that in my dramatic interpretation, just keep that
in
mind.
If you are a Mormon or a former Mormon, a former, as we call them, you know what a dramatic and gentle pleading sounds like.
Yes, you do. And also,
like, you've heard that in the bedroom, you've heard that in the ward house. You know what it sounds like.
You've heard it at Sunday dinner with mom. Okay.
Right. A dramatic and gentle pleading.
Yeah. By the way, this is really distracting, but my vagina, like my labia.
Oh my God.
So itchy. And like, it feels like it's on fire. Okay. Anyway.
You know, there is an option just to not say things out loud.
It's just so distracting. Like, I can't get in a comfortable position.
Right. But you can think thoughts and you can keep them inside of you.
So Jay Annette Dennis.
That's the dumbest name. I can't wait. Okay, go.
So Sister Dennis, who is first or second counselor, probably first counselor in the General Relief Society. I know this because I saw a picture and the president always stands in the middle. Right. And she's also the tallest of the three, the president. And then on the right is a younger, like she looks like maybe late 30s and like part Asian woman.
I was just going to say, so, maybe she's Asian.
Yeah. And she's probably the second counselor because she's not white, but because
she's Asian. Right. Yeah. Right.
Not Caucasian. So anyway, Sister Jay Annette Dennis, she begins by saying that Russell M. Nelson has said repeatedly that priesthood power is available to men and women through a covenant relationship with God.
Now, I can't do this. I can't do this.
This is of your making, sir. So, okay.
Russell M. Nelson has said repeatedly that priesthood power is available through a covenant. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So let me tell you first two things. She uses the word choosing countless times throughout the talk.
Right.
In conjunction with the word covenant.
Okay. Okay.
So she says both choosing and covenant multiple times, reiterating. So covenant is an agreement, literally a contract, according to Oxford Dictionary. Oh, God. It's an agreement which brings about a relationship of commitment between God and his peeps.
Okay. Now, you know you're writing a bad talk when you say the Oxford English Dictionary defines covenant.
Oh, no, as... no. This is me. I looked this up. Ashley did. Sister Twain did.
Oh, okay.
Because I want everyone to be clear why she keeps reiterating the word covenant.
Listen, I don't wanna poop on your cornflakes, but are we really going to go through this talk point by point? Because I know I did it with the other talk, but I'm traumatized now that I'm listening to it.
I'm going to try not to. Okay. So God makes promises to his people, and that usually requires a certain conduct from them. But no certain God, just a conduct from us for that covenant or contract to be active. Okay. What's the opposite of null and void? I don't know. Okay.
Spacious and full of stuff. I don't know.
Okay. So then she said another Russell M. Nelson quote is that the heavens are just as open to women who are endowed with God's power flowing from their priesthood covenants, which were promises we made with men in the church. As they are with those who bear the priesthood. And then she just continues to say the same thing over and over using different words. Right. And like,
thing is like, ladies, you're also cool. Don't worry.
Yeah. And like, never gives one example of how it's true.
Right.
For example, as daughters of God, we can be endowed with priesthood power. Great. We have the right to draw liberally on the Savior's power. heavenly power that wow. I had access to through the covenant I made with Heavenly Father Jesus Christ. So she just continues.
Right.
And every time she's like, that we covenant, when we make covenants as Mormons, it's in the presence of a priesthood holder, or no covenant is made.
Right.
And a priesthood holder is a man.
Right.
So,
right.
And so she quotes Dallin A. Jokes saying, "We are not accustomed to speaking of women having authority of the priesthood in their church callings, but what other authority can it be?"
Oh, great point. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
And so then we get to, again, she just, I'm looking over my notes here, and it's like I wrote the same thing 12 times.
Because, like, so, essentially her point is that, like, don't worry, sisters, we're also awesome.
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Beg yeah. In a firm yet gentle pleading. And so,
right.
And so this, she gets to the sound bite, which is being quoted everywhere, which is,
yeah.
There is no other religious organization in the world that I know of that has so broadly given power and authority to women.
Right. To women.
And then she follows that immediately up with, other religions may ordain women priests and pastors, but very few relative to the number of women in their congregations.
What?
Yeah. So she's, what is she saying? That the women that are given power in these religions, like, it doesn't matter because it's not very many of them?
Like, because the Relief Society is every woman who's in yeah. the church, which, like, whatever there's, you yeah. know, whatever the lie is, there's 15 million members of the church, so there's 7.5 right. million. So, like, even though other religions give actual authority to women, there's only a handful of, like, priests and pastors. But in the Mormon church, they're, like, every woman is part of the Relief Society.
You
that has no power.
You basically just paraphrase the very next thing she said, which was, by contrast, all women 18 and older in the who choose a covenant relationship with God in the house of the Lord are endowed with the priesthood directly from God. So again, like, it just, she just keeps saying the same fucking thing over and over.
The reason allow me to interrupt, if I may, because I'm a man and that is my prerogative. The reason I wanted to talk about this is because the church posted that quote, no other church, blah, 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 gives authority to women more than the Mormon church, on their official Instagram page, and posted it with a painting that was done by a woman who is now also an ex-Mormon and no longer a member of the church. That was a painting of a bunch of women. But what has been, and if I may, I mean, if you have more things to say about her talk, that's fair. But
no, go ahead.
Like, what was so interesting to me is the church posted this on their official Instagram page, and the vast majority of comments were women saying, "That's not true, Ellen. Like, I did invite you to my birthday party." You know what I mean? Like, so many women just saying, "No, that's actually not." And you could yeah. tell from the comments that it was ex-Mormon women and current Mormon women saying, no, this isn't true. Like, yeah. we know this isn't true. We're not idiots.
Right.
Like, you can't just say this and expect that we'll believe it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And some of the Mormon women who are getting on there and defending this, well, C. Jane sent us some screenshots, and I will
right.
read a couple of those, but
right.
Okay, so she says that assignments given to us were given by priesthood authority to carry out these responsibilities. And it's like, you're saying the quiet thing out loud. We right. couldn't do these assignments if men didn't say, okay, you can right. do this.
Right.
And then, nevertheless, the adversary, just like in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and the Tree of Life, is only wants us to focus on what we don't have and blind and blinds us.
Now you got us.
Yep. And blinds us to see what we have, what we have been given. Blinds us to what we have been given. So she also says the quiet part out loud there. Like, he wants us to think of the fact that we don't have the priesthood. Yep. And that's the fucking point.
Right. And not right. Because the adversary is correct. Uh-huh. Like, not the fact that we,
And then the very last point that I'll make, because the rest of the talk is really just so repetitive, is where she brings it home about the generations to come. You know, people are leaving the church like never before. Right. And so she's got to say that whole thing with tears in her eyes, that our children and our grandchildren depend on us to choose. Here she says it again. Choose a deeply connected covenant relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So go ahead. What?
There were so many good comments on the post that the church posted, but a couple that really stood out to me. One woman said, if we woke up tomorrow and there were no women on the earth, like they had all vanished.
Yeah.
The church would continue completely. Nothing would change with the way the church would do its business.
Right.
If we woke up tomorrow and there were no men on the earth, the church would cease to exist.
Brilliant.
So you can't say that, like, we have equal parts in it. Because, like, the absence of women would not destroy the church, but the absence of men would.
Right. Right.
And then the other comment that I saw that, like, I just thought was so smart, and it seemed like it was from a woman who was maybe still in the church or whatever, but she just said, you keep telling me that I have all this power. What is it? You keep telling me that I have a role to play in the, you know, eternities, but what is it?
Right.
If it's God, the man whose job it is to build worlds, create new people, you know, give advice and counsel to his children on the earth, like, if all of those are the roles of God, the man, what is my role? Like, what am I, like, if I'm a faithful woman in the church, like, what role do I have? Like, what am I supposed to, like, no one has told me what that role is. We just keep saying, oh, you have an equally important role. Okay, cool. Tell me what that role is.
Spoiler. It's making babies.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. Okay.
Do you want to share some of the things that C. Jane said to people?
First, I just want to quote what a Mormon woman said in defense of the talk.
Right. Right.
And it is.
And I will say, if you go to this Instagram post, I mean, maybe Instagram's algorithm is serving me up the posts I want to see, but I feel like it's like 2,000 against and like 4 posts, 4 comments, right. 4. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, and the Trib, so, which is not owned by the church like Deseret. So this woman, the account is called the Megalopolitan. Megalopolitan. The Megalopolitan. So her name is
nothing Megalopolitan about this lady. Yeah.
This comment section shows me exactly why the Lord made the right choice when he chose men to officiate over the church. All these women seeking to be offended, looking for an excuse to be angry, assuming malicious reasons for any decision made in the church without their approval. It's a sad time, but a sign of the times for sure. Where is the empathy for our male leaders?
Where is the empathy for men? All lives matter.
Don't you all know how hard it is for a man to make a decision about anything?
Y'all, I'm a man. I'm stupid.
They can't even choose a restaurant. You think they would?
I love that you did that in a Utah accent. Restaurant. Well done. That's why you deserve an Academy Award at some point.
You think they want to make all the decisions? It's not in their nature to do so, which is probably why God calls them.
Okay, megalomania. Megalopolitan.
You guys.
And what was C. Jane's response to megalopolitan?
I don't know what her response to that. She didn't send that, but I have other responses, which were.
I swear she did send that.
I'll let you know, I'm scrolling through right now, but one response was to a woman who said, I am a woman with a PhD and I converted later in life, blah, blah, blah. And I have six kids and da, da, da. And then she affirms how she supports the talk. And then C. Jane says, I'm so relieved you posted your academic and familial achievements. So I, a simple woman with a mere bachelor's and four children, can appreciate your testimony.
Take that.
And then one woman was like, this seriously baffles me. Men and women are equal. I don't understand why you guys are making such a fuss. And C. Jane says, it baffles me too. That's probably because I'm a woman who needs men to explain things like this to me. That's why I'm grateful men have the authority in this church.
Ah, brilliant. Yeah.
And then this one woman who talks about as she's a temple worker, divine heritage, da da da.
Individual worth, choice and accountability.
Yeah. She's like, Courtney says, when I made a sacred vow in the temple to listen and obey to my husband, it was so empowering. Looking forward to quality and respect for eternity.
And then twinkle star emoji. Important. Yeah, I think that's important.
I could continue to read her her comments, but we could stop there.
I do want to share one final one. So a commenter said, responsibility does not equate to authority. Women's issues are one of the biggest topics of the LDS Church needs to address, and they need to be do it ASAP. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we should be leading out when it comes to equality. Keep making noise, ladies. We got this.
With the right arm.
And then Courtney responded and said, for many decades, women have been making noise, speaking out about the church's subordination of women, and were excommunicated, harassed, shamed, belittled, and dismissed. But thank God for you and your ladies got this. Those other women were probably just weak and lacked a special girl boss energy.
She nails each one. She nails each one.
Anyway, I think tonight's theme is we should all be bullying Mormons a little bit more.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
So, and I think the other theme of tonight is, are we less funny when we record weekly?
Well, this week we were, because we didn't do a top five and we did a church episode and we're pissed.
I thought this was such a great idea and I'd like to apologize to you because I feel sad and angry.
Hilarious. Well, it was like a, you know, boom, boom. Like two things coming at us from the Mormon church this week that were just like.
But like we quoted Mormons on this episode. Like. Anyway. Well,
that's it.
That's it. Here's the thing, folks.
Talk to me.
We really do want to know, like, if we're recording more regularly, what do you want from us? What the fuck do you want from us? Do you want a top five? Do you want a deconstruction of Mormonism?
And here's what we want.
Do you want graphic descriptions of my booty hole? Like, I'll do that if that's what you want.
And here's why we ask.
Here's why we ask.
C. Jane Kendrick told us that last week's episode was not great.
But we knew that.
We knew that. But then she said, maybe it's time to mix it up and find another episode structure to mix in with the top fives.
Here's the thing. We just want to make you happy.
Yeah.
We want lots of you listening. We want you sharing stories. We want you talking about your PhDs and how they're important to your Mormon belief system. So we just want to know what we need to do to make that happen.
Yeah, let us know. But next week, we have a top five for you. And I'm really excited about it.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, great. Well, that we do. We have a top five. And you know what? We're not going to talk about the things you can do to support us financially, because then we feel desperate. Like that opening band.
Like that opening band.
But if you know, you know. And if you have feedback on what you'd like to hear more of from us, please let us know. And if you would like us to never record again, also please let
please
us know.
Please let us know. Yeah, the best way to contact us is on our Hot Drinks Instagram.
Yeah, don't send an email. Are you even logged into that email? Hotdrinksforthebelly@gmail.com?
No, maybe we should look at it and see what we've
Someone should log into that. Also, don't send us an email at PO Box 11104@gmail.com because that was a joke. That is not a real
and
email.
Someone actually tried it and I love them for it.
I love them so much for it. I will give their husband a blowjob.
Great.
Okay, well, another like top one or two episodes we've ever recorded.
Since 2018, since we've been doing this.
Oh, great. My God. Well, good luck with your finals.
Midterms, thank you.
Good luck with your midterms. Good luck with clown makeup, because and that one is the one I'm nervous about.
French clown is just a red nose.
Wait, French clown is just a what?
A red nose.
It's only a red nose.
It's just a red foam nose that the teacher gave us.
What day is French clown? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow at 9.
Okay, I'm going to... Hey Siri, remind me tomorrow at 9 a.m. to text Sister Twain. Good luck with French clown. It's a red nose.
Okay, Josh, I added that.
Did you hear her? Yes. Siri added that for tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Oh,
which is actually
God.
10 a.m. your time, so it's too late. So I'll fix that. I'll fix that in post.
It'll be 8 a.m. my time.
Right, but I'm saying if. Oh, you're right.
Oh, you're
right.
Saying,
okay.
Oh. Anyway,
well, yeah, okay, got it. That's the end of the episode.
Okay,
goodbye.
Bye.